God is truly faithful, and we as his children would rejoice in that faithfulness, especially if we are struggling. And we know many of us are struggling. Struggling in isolation, struggling with death and in the shadow of death, struggling with sickness. So many who need to hear that song and the message of God's word. God is truly faithful. And if we keep our eyes there, our hearts there, our thoughts there, then we become an encouragement to others and unify the body of Christ around the greatness of God and the delight he has in his children. Happy Mother's Day. A pastor shared that one of the mothers in his church had a son. Kevin was his name, full of energy, and that son was 4 years old and was going to turn 5 the next day. And so the mother was trying to help him understand what a birthday was and what this meant for him. And so she was explaining, "How old are you?" And 4, and he'd been doing that for a full year. And so she said, "Well, how old will you be tomorrow?" And 5, of course, and they discuss it. And finally, he figures that out. He's 4. Now he'll be 5. And so he said to his mom, "Mom, tomorrow I'm going to be a handful." Well, I think Kevin, if that's what Kevin said, was right. Children can be a handful, and certainly being a mother, although perhaps one of the greatest joys that someone can experience, also very, very difficult. We often preach through books of the Bible, and next Sunday, God willing, we'll be starting to work through the book of Revelation. But because we had a gap here in between Romans and Revelation, we decided to focus in on Mother's Day. Now, what if you're not a mother? We want to especially honor those who are mothers. What if you're not a mother? Or what if God has chosen in his plan to keep motherhood from you? Or perhaps you're a father or a child. And I would say that although this message isn't specifically for you, the Bible is so applicable, and the applications we'll point out to mothers and then to everyone, I think, really could change your life if you're willing to look at this model mother and learn from her how to live your lives for Jesus. I believe in history there is one mother who stands above all. The Bible calls her favored. The Bible tells us that she was given a grace gift. In fact, twice, if you look at the passage, she is favored above all women. Fully human, obviously had her faults, and yet powerful when we understand the age that she became pregnant without ever having known a man. And then following through on that, how she lived her life, watched her son die, and then followed him as the resurrected king. Of course, I'm talking about Mary. Now, there are some who in the Christian tradition have obviously given Mary too much credit. And often what that has done, in fact, they've almost deified her. In fact, we might even say deified her, which would be blasphemy. Unfortunately, a response to that has been that we sometimes in evangelical churches where we only want to worship God and the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, we sometimes ignore her. And so today I would like us to turn in our Bibles, and if you have your Bibles with you this morning, and I hope that you do, to Luke chapter 1. If you don't, go get them, because I want you to see what we study in this text. Often this is used as a Christmas passage. In fact, almost every Christmas we will turn to Luke chapter 1 or sometimes John chapter 1 if we want kind of the grander scheme, or Mark chapter 1 if we want it really short and specific and driving into ministry, or Luke chapter 1, probably the best description of what really happened, and certainly for us, the best display of the most wonderful mother, blessed mother, but perhaps even in her response, mother in all of history. And we want to learn from her, because not only do we see in her this amazing human, broken and fallen, yet obedient, but we also see a challenge for all of us in the midst of any of the brokenness we might be experiencing to follow Jesus fully. To look at our circumstances and then to see through them the sovereign plan of God who uses weak people like Mary, favors the humble, and then accomplishes his full plan because we choose obedience in the midst of heartache and God-centeredness in the midst of confusion. Luke chapter 1, we'll begin at verse 26. Encourage you again to read on. I think I have in your notes 21. We're going to go ahead and start at 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." You can imagine the shock and fear she must have felt. Remember, Mary is anywhere from 12 to 16. Most scholars would say a young teenager. Here is this awesome angelic being telling her, this innocent girl, that she was greatly favored. Obviously, her response, she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. What is going on? And the angel said to her, "Don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Puts her up there with the Noahs and the Jobs of the Bible. "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, then will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. You will have a child without an earthly father who will be in the line of David." By the way, just a little aside here, we won't spend time on it because we're focusing on Mary. The virgin birth is essential to the doctrine of the church. It's essential because it's pointing to who Jesus is, essential because it's what the Bible teaches, and it's essential because if you don't believe it, so many other things fall apart. And so if you know of a pastor or teacher or person who does not believe in the virgin birth, there is a good chance they need to get to know Jesus and believe in miracles. Clearly, his word reveals that this is how he was conceived. "And Mary said to the angel, 'How will this be? Since I am a virgin,'" I think a very good question. How is this even possible? "And the angel answered, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. You will be conceived by the Holy Spirit.'" It will be a miracle. Amazing. "And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son, and this in the sixth month with her who was called barren." By the way, very interesting study there as well. Also a miracle. Here was a woman beyond childbearing years. I love the statement, "For nothing will be impossible with God." That is where we need to have our eyes constantly if we're going to be like Mary. If you're in a circumstance that is difficult, if you feel overwhelmed in pain, if you feel isolated, alone, hurting, lost, and responding in bitterness or anger, anxiety or fear, then this view of God that Mary has, if it's yours, you will respond with peace and you will transcend your situation in relationship with God and be able to love and build unity and delight with others in the greatness of who he is and fix your eyes there. Mary's response is perhaps the most profound immediate response to the God of the Bible. In all of the Bible, maybe Abraham's is in competition with it when he was asked to sacrifice his son, his only son. Here is this young teenager's response. "And Mary said, 'Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word.' And the angel departed from her." Wow. We have a God who does the impossible. And often that impossible is difficult for us to take and to respond to. Difficult not only in the reality and power of what it is, a virgin will conceive and then give birth to the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who will rule in the name of David, but also because of what it must have meant for her in this time in history. So let's look at this amazing mother and let's learn from her as we seek to honor, encourage, and challenge the mothers in our own congregation. And I hope for all of us to learn from Mary how to respond to the God of the impossible. The first lesson I want us to see from her life and this text is this: we live in a broken world and we are broken. We live in a broken world and we are broken. What I'm saying here is that Mary was human. She herself was broken, and then the world around her was also broken. And if you track her life with Jesus, you're going to see this all over the place. First, we note we have an unwed pregnant woman, not impregnated by Joseph, and Joseph knows that. Can you imagine the fear as she would have pondered this, of what this might mean for her life with Joseph, her dreams of being a good Jewish young lady? Would Joseph abandon her? Which we find out later he planned as a godly man to do. Would Joseph have her stoned as the law would have required? Would anyone believe her? There's so many that name the name of Christ today that don't even believe her. Can you imagine how it must have been for her then? There would have been disgust, disdain, and potential death. People would make fun of her. In fact, we know they made fun of Jesus. You see him sometimes called the Son of Mary, other times much more direct, especially as you trace through the book of John, this making fun of this man who from the earthly, fleshly perspective had no father. Her purity, known by God, would have been made fun of by man, especially those who were most religious. She would have been misunderstood. She would have been made fun of. She was a poor, unwed, pregnant teenager. Life is broken. Not only that, and we've mentioned this, she was very poor. In fact, so poor, if you trace through the story, that she is going to have her son, still unwed, in a place, or at least still unknown by a man, in a place that only those who are the most poor would be. A place where animals were kept, dirty. Filled with confusion, she must have thought, how could the promise of Gabriel be true? There was no way for her to buy her way out of her mess that she was now in the sovereign plan of God. How would she give her children a good life? They would be made fun of. They would be thought of less than normal. They would have been poor. How could she set her children up for a better life? How could she be a good mother? She lived in a broken world. Now, perhaps most painful, although I think those things would have been difficult, she watched her son die. Now, she understood, I think, more than most who have to go through the grief of losing a child. And if you have lost a child, this is a massive price to pay for understanding her pain. But those of us who haven't can look in and see the grief she must have experienced when her son was on the cross. When her son was being mocked and spit on and abused by others. Mothers, and now I'll expand this to all of us, we live in a broken world, and if we're in the plan of God, as Mary was, and if we're favored by God, as Mary, I think, was most favored among women in all of history, it doesn't mean we get to escape the brokenness. In fact, often when we are truly obedient to God, the pain increases, not decreases. And so those who learn from Mary will learn this recorded lesson in all of history, that we live in a broken world. Now, to add to this, she was also a sinner. her pain would have been so intense because of what she would have regretted about her own parenting. I'm sure there are lots that don't know about in terms of her own history and her own mistakes, but in the Bible, recorded for all eternity, she rejected her son as the Messiah. Even though she had this special revelation, even though she would have raised a perfect child, my mom was close with me, I suppose, but I don't, that was a joke. I know no one in here is laughing, but there's no one here. I hope you laughed at home, and Mom, if you're listening, please don't tell anyone how bad I truly was. She raised a perfect child. And now she rejected him and rebuked him and said, John 7 verse 5, John 8, 21, Jesus, stop. Stop doing the plan of God for your life. And Jesus responded, and again, think of her as a mom now. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. Mom, you are rejecting and rebuking me, and I want you to, this is Jesus speaking, I want you to understand my family, now we would argue the local church, my family is those who hear and obey the word of God. Oh, the despair she must have felt when she remembered and believed and clung to him as Messiah. She also asked Jesus to do a miracle before his time. We know that was in the plan of God, but here she was, a woman favored by God, placed in a broken and horrific situation for God, in the plan of God, and then in her own life, filled with sin. And I think she would have been upset with herself about those things. I know when I teach on parenting or look at my own life as a parent, it's easy to find things that we have done wrong. It would have been the same for Mary. So here's the lesson. We live in a broken world and we are broken. Okay, you say, Pastor, we know that. What's the next lesson? Secondly, we learn from her, the future is firm, follow fully. My favorite text in this entire passage is verse 38. I wonder sometimes if we learned this lesson from this teenage girl that our lives wouldn't be so much far more fully devoted to Jesus and far less destructive to those we love or to those in our family and church. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I will obey no matter what the cost. I will follow Jesus if it means I'll be broken and made fun of and mocked and my teenage world and dreams explode. I will follow Jesus' plan for me. I will obey his word." It's the response of every true follower of God. Oh, I suppose we lean towards it and lean into it, but we want to be a people who know the word of God and obey it. I have the privilege each week of interacting with churches and pastors around Canada, some in the U.S. as well. And what we are discovering is that in the midst of a crisis, we have many people who are parsing the Bible and ripping out pages and mistreating one another and attacking their own churches and pastors and in despair and in fear and in chaos and crisis. And here's a reminder for us how to have stability. Jesus, I think, could have used her as an illustration when he was saying, if you want to follow me, Matthew 7 verse 21, you will say, "Lord, Lord," and obey. Remember the house illustration? A wise man builds his house on the rock. A foolish man builds his house on the sand. The rock hearing the word of God and applying it. Or Mary hearing the word of God and obeying immediately. The sand hearing the word of God and picking out parts that are comfortable and ignoring the rest. I long for this family to learn from Mary, to learn from Jesus, to be those who want the whole word of God to impact them, that hold it up like a mirror and in humility respond, and the grace of God to full obedience, full devotion to all of what it teaches, and then support and love those around them and their family fully and completely devoted to God, saying, like Mary, "You have a plan. I might be broken, but I submit with joy." We're going to see that joy all over this passage if we were to continue. I accept the brokenness of your plan. May it be to me as you have said, according to your word. This is not stupidity. This is simple, childlike faith. God, you are who you are. You're the God of the impossible. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can be content and joyful, even in a broken world, as a broken person. Oh, that we would learn this. I think for us, so much easier than for this teenage girl. In fact, if you know the richness of the gospel in Romans 8:32, then you know no matter what happens to you, God is sovereign and God is good and God is at work. And the guarantee of his goodness to you is the richness of the gospel. Here, the richness of Jesus who came, now understanding fully why, lived a perfect life, sinless, died on the cross, fully obedient, taking upon himself our sin, shedding his blood so that we could have life, and then rising from the dead. The richness of the gospel, we respond in belief. We offer our lives to him, open and experience his grace and live for his glory. Oh, brother, oh, sister, oh, mother, can you hear the echo of Mary's obedience because she knew the God of the impossible? In your own life, in your own crisis, in your own brokenness, and the brokenness around you, as you look at your own sin, as you see others who will mistreat you, misunderstand you, behold, I want to be a servant of the Lord no matter what comes my way, fully submitted to the word of God. Okay, we live in a broken world and we are broken. The future is firm. Follow fully. In other words, be a part of the plan that God has going on even when it's confusing and broken. Thirdly, be loyal for your entire life to God and your family. Be loyal for your entire life to God and your family. Now, for moms, I think this is something that God gives to them specially. But I want to expand this to the rest of us. And remember what Jesus said about family. This is loyalty to God and your church family. Loyal to those who God has placed around you, staying true to him and being a blessing to her. For Mary, we find her at the foot of the cross, and we find her in Jerusalem at Pentecost, and we find her faithful to God and his people to the very end of her life. She not only knew Jesus as her son, she knew Jesus as her Savior, and she followed Jesus as her Lord. She was a broken person in a broken situation who fully surrendered her life and said, "May it be as you plan, no matter the cost." And God took her and used her to be a blessing, even as we read her joy and her response and her obedience to us. Faithfulness in difficulty is hard to find. In fact, in Ecclesiastes, a wise man tells us you can't find it among women and maybe one in a million among men. Proverbs shouts out, a faithful man, who can find? And yet here we see a woman whose faith grew and developed, starting so simple, so profound, so right in the God of the impossible, now lived out as someone who said, "I will do whatever God requires." I was with a friend for coffee yesterday morning. His best friend died from COVID not that long ago, and his son was in such danger this week that he could have ended up with brain damage and chaos. And for a dad or a mom, this is so hard. And he said to me, "It's always the darkest before the dawn." He's quoting his favorite theologian. And then he talked about being faithful to God and to his church, his family, his growth group, the ministry of prayer, and all of those things in the midst of crisis and chaos, what allowed him to stay faithful, to stay strong, even now as they're still in the throes and we're still praying for this family? What allowed him to stay strong? And the answer is, when you know the God of the impossible, when you cling to him, then you entrust to him your life, and then you build up others. Then you're faithful to the church, you're faithful to Christ, you're faithful to your family, and you choose in the midst of the brokenness of your life, both from things and people around you, but also from your own mistakes, to honor God and stay faithful to him and to his bride as you pay the cost of following him. Learn from Mary to be faithful, to be loyal to God and his people and his family and the place he's called you to serve, even in the midst of brokenness and confusion. I think a friend of mine once told me that the best way to love someone is to love their wife. The best way to love a mom is to love her children. The best way perhaps to love Jesus, as Mary did, is then to connect in and love Jesus' family, as Jesus defines it, the local church. Mary did, by the way. I've been to the place where they say historically she lived. It's in Ephesus, and seen her humble place there. And we know from church history her desire to be a part of that church with John and then others to build that church up to honor Jesus. Can we learn? Can we watch and see this great unfolding of history, not just as something that literally happened in space-time history in the past, but can we now take it and say, how can we learn from this ourselves? So mothers, I want to start with you in terms of implications, and I have a few for you, and then I'm going to go to everyone. But again, please listen if you're one of those everyone. First, let's just say thank you to our mothers. All of us have them. Thank you for the pain you endured from the curse, from your love for your children, for the gift you are of love and steadfastness. Today, we want to say, as those who honor the family as God designed it, and want to honor those who God has placed in the lives of children to lead them to him, thank you. We know your job is not easy. We know sometimes it's overwhelming. And so Cloverdale Baptist Church, to faithful mothers in our congregation, and I suppose if you're listening beyond, thank you. Secondly, be encouraged. We know you're not perfect. Take a look at your life. We know that you could look at your life and say, I haven't been a perfect mom. Neither was Mary. We live in a world that is broken and you are broken. But be encouraged that God has a plan for you today and tomorrow. God has a plan for you if you are his child, to be an encouragement, to build his family, his church, to build your own family. He favors you. It's interesting. I was listening to a sermon on this morning while I was preparing, and the pastor said, it's interesting because all of these things said about Mary could be said about every single true follower of Jesus today. We're favored. We're part of his plan. We're called by him to engage in a difficult situation. So thank you. Be encouraged. Thirdly, mothers, be courageous. Often being called to be a mom is a thankless job, and from pain to diapers to a life of love and service. I even had one person say that the pain of childbirth is not physical, it's emotional, because you love your children so deeply in every pain they go through. And I certainly see this in Lori as our boys struggle through any pains that they've been through, is actually that love and the pain it causes. I think probably childbirth, but the other is sure intense as well. So be challenged to be a mom who is loyal to God, courageous in following God, and courageous in living the plan he has for you, and following Mary, the mother of Jesus, and say, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. In a broken world, I will serve you. Have the courage to do that. I'm not saying, neither can we learn from Mary's life, that that will be easy. We know from the intensity of pain that Mary went through, it will be incredibly difficult. But we are saying it's worth it because we are serving the God of the impossible. Okay, moms, thank you. Let's step back just for a moment. And I guess before I do that, let me just say I want to honor the moms in my life. Mom, I honor you as an incredible woman of God who loved your boys and the pain that we put you through. You're an example and a model to us, and I thank you. And you have the courage that has sought to serve and the obedience to God your entire life that I seek to emulate and follow, and I am so grateful. Lori, the joys and pains of the journey of life, the desire you have for our boys to follow God, the delight you have in serving them and working so hard to make their lives more comfortable, which, you know, sometimes we need to discuss that further. Lori, I know that as your fifth boy, I am sometimes a handful as well, and so I apologize for that, but that's for a different sermon. What can we learn now as a congregation from Mary, all of us? I think what we can learn in terms of obedience in a confusing world is, let's be a people that honor the family of God. Luke 8:21, he answered that my mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And specifically, as you study the Bible, that means those in your local church. I get it's difficult in isolation. I get it's difficult when people in that isolation disagree with you and they're over here, or disagree with you and they're over here on worldly things. I understand that. And I think COVID will soon be over, but there'll be many more crises that hit us because we live in a broken world with broken people. Be loyal to God. Choose immediate obedience. And choose love and service and building up to those around us. If you've made a major mistake like Mary, live in grace. If God calls you to immediate obedience, live in full devotion. And hear this from the Word and now from me as the one privileged to be preaching this to you, privileged to be your preaching pastor. You're a part of the plan of God. God used this poor, young, simple woman to change eternity. And if Jesus lived a perfect life and died on the cross and rose again, which he did, and if you believe in him truly, in other words, you've responded to the gospel with faith, which I hope you have, then the Bible tells us that you're literally, Ephesians 2:10, made and shaped and placed for such a time as this. So look around you. Open your hands and release any bitterness or brokenness you might feel towards God or others, any arrogance of your own opinions, and submit fully to him. Be a part of his plan to encourage others to engage and show them who God is and introduce them to the gospel and lay aside Philippians 3, literally everything else that you might know him. And as you carry on in that passage, make him known. I am thankful for Mary because she displays to us how broken people can live in victory. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for mothers. Thank you today for those who represent that in our church. God, we pray your blessing upon them that they would live with hope and loyalty and lavish love. Help us as a congregation, us as individuals, to honor our own mothers and our wives who have children. God, would you help us to be those who delight in your plan and ways, especially when it comes today to the family. And God, would you, through the power of your Spirit, teach us through the life of Mary, her response of absolute obedience in what must have been horrifying. Her healing when she realized the sin she did against her son at times when he must have needed her faith the most, and yet she rejected his lordship. Teach us the healing and hope found in you, the grace in new beginnings, and help us as a congregation to find in this great story a passion to be obedient to your family, to delight in the greatness of your grace, and in that to live our lives fully obedient to your entire word with joy. You're an awesome God, the God of the impossible. Help us to see you, to savor you, and to submit to you fully. In Jesus' name and for his sake, amen.